Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It looks like summer. People are taking the day off. I don't know what's going on today. But it's happy to see everyone here who's here today. Only one announcement that I have is a reminder of the annual church picnic coming up on the 28th of August after church. We're going to be hot dogs and hamburgers. Asked to bring a salad or dessert. There's a sign-up sheet on the back. And there'll be a chance auction. With that, I will turn over to Tom to get things started.
Well, good morning, little flock, God's little flock. Fear not, little flock. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so we come together today to claim that promise that we are a part of that wonderful kingdom, that God, that reign of God up around us. Beautiful flowers here this morning, George. You did well.
Thank you.
Good job, and happy birthday yesterday, right?
Yes.
To Sandy. I won't ask how many, not supposed to do that, but. So anyway, if you're not going to tell us, that's good. Keep it a secret. That's great. Oh, goodness. Well, it's good to be here on this, another beautiful Sunday summer in what the church calls ordinary time. This is a long season of the year. After Lent and Easter and Pentecost, for about 6 months or so, the church enters a period called ordinary time. So this is just an ordinary time Sunday morning where we have gathered to hear again God's word to us and to respond in faith and love and mercy and to be reminded that God is at work. God is at work in every life here today. And regardless of what we're facing, whatever challenges, we know that God's work is being done in our life at this very moment. And we can trust that and believe that. And therefore, we have hope and faith. I'm a little bit disjointed this morning. I went to plug in my hearing aid. I've only got the one good ear, and it has a hearing aid. I went to plug it in, but it was in the dark. I didn't want to wake up my wife. And so I plugged it in the dark. And when I went to get it this morning, I hadn't plugged it in all the way. So I'm reading lips today. I got most of what you said to me this morning. But when the organ started, then I was a little bit challenged. So if I'm a little challenged with you, I can usually read your lips if you have something you need to say. So God has gathered us here this beautiful summer Sunday morning at an ordinary time. And wherever you have come from and whatever you bring to this moment, know that God's blessing awaits you and greets you and blesses you. So let's call one another together as we worship God. Our lives are in the care of God.
God has given us one and same hope.
This day, we have come to praise and thank God for all that God has done for us.
We gather to celebrate God's love and to offer our lives in service.
Come, let us open our hearts to the Lord.
Let us rejoice in God's goodness and love.
Amen. We stand, if able, and we join voices and hearts together in song.
Thank you.
So now let us, as we remain standing, be of one heart and voice as we confess our sins. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have committed evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your faithful love. Wash us completely clean of our guilt. Purify us from our sin. Put a new faithful spirit deep inside us and return the joy of your salvation to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here is the good news, my friends. Christ came searching for us, calling us by name, leading us into God's kingdom.
In Christ, we become new people, broken, weary, and whole. Lost, we are found. Forsaken, we are restored to new life. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Now together let us confess the faith of the Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Greet one another with your greeting this day. We join together in song and praise.
Thank you.
I just have one prayer concern given to me this morning, that we continue to be in prayer for Kristen over here. Moved on me here, Kristen. Some of you know this, and it's good news. Kristen was unanimously declared certified ready, sort of like my car, you know, when they send it back for ready to run, ready to go. Ready by her home presbytery in Santa Fe. And now we are in prayer that the Pittsburgh Presbytery will join them and us so that she can accept a call if a church decides to make an offer. Let us pray for this, and so let us do that. And there will be some moments of silence in our prayer this morning. And among the concerns that I would like for you to remember would be Kristen's journey to full ordination and call. So let's join together as we pray. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. Our hearts and voices declare to you be glory and praise forever. For you have founded the earth at its beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands and declare your glory. And in the fullness of time you made us, created us in your blessed image. And you have spoken to us by prophets and also through your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh among us. Today we rejoice in the gift of your presence here and among your people everywhere. And we pray that the light of your love will always shine in our hearts, that your Spirit will ever renew us, and that your praises will ever be upon our lips. As your dawn has renewed the face of the earth by bringing light and life once again to your creation, we rejoice in all that you have made. We are thankful for the refreshment of sleep and rest, of food and air and life and water, and all that goes into sustaining us in your world. Today we seek to be strengthened once again, that our hands might once again be made strong, our hearts ready, our spirits willing to do your will for us, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. We thank you for Kristen. We bless her on her journey. We are grateful for the gifts that have been implanted in her for ministry. And we lift her up as she continues her journey. And we bring to you silently now the prayers of our hearts for one another and for ourselves. And as Jesus taught disciples, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If able, we rise together and sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 187. Please be seated and join in worshiping God and one another as we bring our gifts.
Thank you. yours, body and soul, and in joy and praise, we share together in the gifts of love and ministry for Christ and the church. In his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Please listen, but I know you all know. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I've chosen to preach through the Beatitudes of Jesus this summer. We're a little bit more than halfway through that. And this morning I will read one of those Beatitudes for us. It's the Beatitude calling us to be full of mercy, to love mercy. Now we heard mercy in the reading already here today, that familiar 23rd Psalm. I had it read in the King James Version because you can't improve on it in any other version. I've read dozens of other versions of the 23rd Psalm, but you cannot improve on the old King James when it comes to this wonderful, wonderful Psalm, reminding us that we are being pursued. Something's following us. Goodness and mercy are following us right behind all the days of our lives. So if we look and see where we've just been, God has been there. Goodness and mercy following us, catching up on us, right behind us, the mercy of God. Now, of course, mercy is something that is not just an occasional thing in the Bible, is it? You go through the Bible, 66 books, and mercy is a refrain. It just keeps flowing through Scripture. I love that one from Micah 6:8, where it says, "What does the Lord require? What is God asking us? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God." And of course, when we read the Gospels, I mean, every story that Jesus is involved in is a mercy story, isn't it? Whether it's feeding the hungry or healing the sick or giving hope to the broken, it's always a story of God's great, wonderful mercy. And so we should not be surprised that as we see the Sermon on the Mount being introduced through these wonderful Beatitudes, that Jesus would say something like this: "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Let us pray. God, may your Holy Spirit so fall afresh upon us this day, that hearing the written word and the spoken word, that the word will be made flesh in us. Amen. The mighty Roman Empire was mighty indeed. It lasted for centuries, didn't it? And it covered continents all across the known Mediterranean world, from England to Britain to Egypt. We have these Roman roads, we have these Roman sea crossings and ships. We have these artifacts, these discoveries of these Roman baths. The Romans loved their baths, and so wherever they went, they would build these tremendously beautiful and elaborate baths in England or wherever they happened to be, the soldiers and sailors. The walls may be of marble and the floors mosaic, and these baths would have several components. There was a hot bath and a really hot bath and a cold bath and changing rooms and rooms there where you could have oil put on your body and scraped off, and people went to have their daily bath and to talk politics and whatever. And of course, the greatness of that Roman world was in its military, wasn't it? 300, 400, at one point up to 500,000 troops. Oh, they were expertly trained. They were well fed. They were trained. They were enabled. They knew all the latest scientific warfare techniques. It's known that some of those Roman soldiers would go into battle against an enemy that was 10 times larger, and they would be victorious. Some of them were taught long-distance swimming, and they would swim across large distances of water and then surprise an enemy who had no idea that someone could cross such a body of water, but they were trained to do so. But the Roman army, this mighty Roman army, like the world had never seen, was defeated by an unseen enemy. It's called a pandemic. It's called disease. You can't see it. At least two plagues in the first century. One in 166. It came from China. Imagine that, a plague from China. It traveled across the Silk Road. It made its way into Rome and to all the provinces, and it decimated the army. Farmers left their crops in the fields and fled. People in the cities fled the cities. And then 100 years later, it happened again. This time, a pandemic from Ethiopia travels across the known world. The great Roman army now becomes the carriers of these diseases into the cities and towns. And once again, the farmers leave their fields. The taxes fall off. The army is difficult to maintain. 5,000 people a day are dying in Rome. The army has to recruit others outside of Rome for its mighty forces, so they take in anybody they can. It was the beginning of the end of the mighty Roman Empire. And in both of these plagues, something happened that the world had never seen before. People were abandoning their own families, you see. People in the cities, people in the countryside. It was a terrible time. And if you were sick, you were out of luck. But something extraordinary happened. There was a small group of people . They were despised. They were called atheists. They were called atheists because they didn't believe in bending the knee to the Roman gods. They had another way to worship. People who were crying out for thirst were brought water. People whose fever had reached unbelievable suffering, someone would come and put a cold towel upon their head. As people lay dying in their homes and streets, this strange sect of people would come and minister to them. They would hold their hands as they died. They would pray for them. They would bury the dead. The world had never seen, ever, anything like this. This group of people not only ministered to their own families that were suffering, but they ministered to all of the other people as well. And it didn't matter how old or young or what they believed or how rich or poor, they brought their ministry of compassion and mercy. Secular historians, not religious historians, not church historians, but secular historians will say, as a result of these two plagues and this sect, this small group of people who called themselves Christians, that this was the primary force, the primary reason, the cause, you see, of this small, hated minority of people in the Roman Empire growing across the earth, so that very soon it became a worldwide movement of faith. And people of every tribe and every color and every language and every social condition, it didn't matter who they were brought into this new thing. Called church. The world had never seen anything like that before. And not too long ago, it happens, you know, it keeps happening, doesn't it? Not too long ago, a deranged killer went into a small Amish schoolhouse. One of the young girls in that schoolhouse said, "Kill me first," hoping that if the killer would kill her first, maybe he would be satisfied and leave the others be. And after that horrible moment, the families, the Amish families, began to minister to the families of the killer. And then it happened again. It happened in Charleston, South Carolina, where someone went into a midweek service with a gun and killed those who had gathered to pray in Charleston, South Carolina that evening. One of the reporters, I heard him say on the radio, he went down to cover that event, and he watched how these people rose up and strengthened in blessing and forgiveness. And he said, "I've never seen anything like that before." In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus gives the Beatitudes in a different form. They're called blessings and woes. It's where Jesus gives these blessings and woes, and then he says, you know, he gives that golden rule, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And then he goes into this amazing paragraph. And in that paragraph, he defines what mercy looks like. He defines what it looks like for us to live in the world. He defines what it looks like so that when people see Christian, when they see church, they say, "We've never seen anything like this before." And what Jesus says in that amazing paragraph is, "Love your enemies." He says, "If you love those who love you, big deal, Lucille. What good is that? Everybody can do that. It doesn't take anything for us to love back those who love us." And then Jesus says, as he concludes that paragraph, "Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful." Mercy is what God looks like. Mercy is what we look like. It's the air we breathe. It's the nourishment we receive. Blessed? Oh my, yes. Blessed are the merciful. They are like God. Amen. The word having been proclaimed among us, we close our service in singing, "If Able We Stand," hymn number 542.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may God's great and wonderful mercy, may the power of the Holy Spirit, and may God's love and goodness surround you, keep you, and guide you now and forevermore. Amen.